you're a listener, wherever you're from, maybe once in a while, give me a note, an email. Let me know where you're listening from. It's a great thing to know that you're out there. And we like to interact sometimes. I know sometimes we get behind on the emails, but we try. We really do. And more than ever right now. But again, tonight, we are in the middle of a series that we've been doing called Frozen in Time, Believers Who Don't Grow. Now, I know there's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things in the news, and we can continue to focus, and we will be, on the issues of the day that matter, the issues that are critical, the things that are going on underneath the carpet. Everything we know, we're going to continue to bring that out. But in the midst of that, it's a reality that thousands and thousands of listeners are believers in Christ. And listen, I know enough to know after 30 years of being in ministry, pastoring. I met with some dear folks today and last Thursday night, and I will tomorrow. And there's individuals that are wounded as believers. Now, I've mentioned that it's possible as a believer you weren't discipled right. It's possible as a believer you had all kinds of things occur to you. And there are many, many believers that are wounded. And I want you to know something, that the enemy will always seek, because our ministry is about exposure of the dark side, not only the origins and nature, but methodology and agenda. And methodology involves keeping real believers in Christ frozen, that they can't step out, they can't bear fruit, they can't do really anything. And that's exactly what that side wants. So what I'm sharing today is, well, in this whole week, is the power of God in salvation. Monday night, we dealt with the design of God for supernatural growth. Tuesday night, we dealt with the ground level of immediate access to God. And let me tell you something. Tonight, we're dealing with the possibilities. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you right now, there are massive possibilities. I just emailed back, maybe even they're listening tonight, but an individual that told me about some really radically tough things they're going through. I mean, they are going through some very radical and tough things. And, of course, I've prayed for them. I've sent back scripture. I want them to keep in touch with me. And you know, that's what we do as believers. We want to bear one another's burden. We want to help each other out. We want to pray for one another. But I found out that based on the promises of God and experience, we can be right here, have somebody in China that we need to pray for and ask God to minister to and deal with and help. And the effect, the miracle, the answer can come. Tonight, we're going to talk about possibilities. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, has been since the 50s, counterfeit human enhancement, counterfeit human potential movements. And it's all about, listen, all of the language in psychology, in human potential movements, a lot of it came from the shadow government. A lot of it came in the testing of psi powers. And there's been this push in psychology, in self-help books, concerning human development, human potential, things like that. Now, the truth is, we as human beings are built to grow. From childhood on, we not only grow on a physical level, but mental, emotional, and we learn things. We learn how to do things. And for me, if somebody shows me how to do something once, it's done. Pretty much I can do it every time down the road. And I can learn and I can figure things out along the way. Don't know everything, that's for very sure. And I don't have any problem asking others for help to learn something. Now, that's just a normal thing for all of us. But there's also the potential in our spiritual relationship, spiritual development, and, the spiritual possibilities, supernatural possibilities. And that's what we are going to deal with tonight. And so I hope you're ready in this 1 hour that you and I have together, 6 p.m. here on Wednesday night until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're brand new at all, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And by the way, if you're a believer that feels like you've been frozen in time, if you feel like you have, you've been a believer 20, 30 years, but you haven't done a whole lot. You haven't moved a whole lot. And I get letters like that constantly. I want you to know that God didn't design it that way, but there is, from what God has put in us and put out there before us, all the design is there. All the potential is there. But there is the need for our cooperation. That's where warfare comes in. That's where this enemy that is building the globalism, that's building the shadow political and military and behind the scenes stuff that's going on. I mean, there's no question that it's out there, and we see it on a large global scale, but on a personal scale, just like with Peter and the early disciples, they were sitting there with Jesus himself. Jesus was aware, but they were not. He looked at them and said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you." The Greek there is plural, meaning all of you guys. He's asked to sift all of you guys, but I've prayed for all of you guys that your faith would not fail. Now, this is why I'm talking about frozen in time. I'm going to say right now that if Peter was left to himself, he was frozen. He went out. He didn't know what was happening to him. He didn't know the battle that was going on. He was out there afraid, denying the Lord, guilty, beaten down. I mean, listen, when it comes to spiritual warfare, it can be very confusing. A lot of agitation, a lot of strange things that ultimately is meant to beat us down and leave us wounded. And thus, many believers are literally frozen in time, in those times of battle. Now, the good news was, as Jesus interacted with Peter and did say he would pray for him, even as Christ is the daily, moment-by-moment intercessor for you and I right now. Listen, you're not meant to be left out there. You're not meant to be wounded and beat by the enemy. There are skills to learn. There are words of God to grip. And there is the will that God has now breathed into his power, his fire, his life, that does swell from the inside out, driving, pushing, and telling you to get on up. Get on up. Wipe off the blood. Wipe off the pain and come into the presence of the living Christ. He is the one that is near the brokenhearted. It's not wrong to grieve or to have pain. But I want you to know that don't stay there for the rest of your life. It's definitely what the enemy wants, not what God designed. And it leaves the believer who is, well, beaten or broken or wounded, frozen in their development. Thus, I believe Satan then steals the depth of your relationship with God. He steals the depth of what you could know about God. He steals the prayer power unlimited that could be going on. He steals the possibility of you reaching others. He steals the possibility of you knowing your spiritual gifts and then using those giftings and getting up and listen again. So many things that could, should, and maybe in this providential moment as you're listening, maybe this is part of the sanctifying. Listen, remember how we talked about sanctification? It's not a boring religious word. It is a word that represents the dynamic presence and power and design of God to develop you in your relationship. And to develop you in, well, many things. We're going to talk about knowing God, knowing God's knowledge. And again, this area of prayer power unlimited. And then reaching others, the mission. And we're going to give an example of all of this out of the book of Acts. It involves an individual like you and I, just a human being, but who came to believe in Christ, clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. He learned to step out in obedience, and as he did, he became stronger and stronger and stronger. to where literally in the scriptures it looks like he was indefeatable, that he was used in such a powerful way that he infected an entire small city for Christ and the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about him in just a few moments. We got about 11 minutes after the hour right now. And again, if you'd like to email during the show, Russ, well, you can just send it to shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And I just, I just got a note here, and appreciate this note in from a dear friend out of, individual from Central New York. And I will check on the book issue. They said they ordered the book here, I'm going to find out what happened there concerning that, because all books locally that we have shipped out. All other books that we're doing right now goes through the publisher. And I'm going to find out what went on there, and I'll talk to, we have one office volunteer that does all this work. And Pat, I will definitely talk to them and find out immediately what occurred, because I know I'm looking, down here in this office, there's absolutely no books left. So we've turned it all over to the publishers, and we'll see what's going on there. And I'll figure this out for you and have you an answer by tomorrow morning. But appreciate you listening in. Glad in Central New York. And glad to hear across the United States, Canada, Australia, other nations of the world, too. And by the way, many of you who download this program, the show, during the week or later on, the archives are always there. You're welcome to make CDs or send the links. That can always be a part of ministry. And we find that God has providentially used a lot of these programs on MP3 that are being, I have no idea where they're being sent all over the place. 150,000 downloads of these MP3s we have all over the place. And we're not the best organized. We're going to make cleaner looking sites and try to make it a little bit more usable. But by what we have there right now, it's amazing to me to see 150,000 downloads and 1,500,000 hits in a month. And we've only been live here in this way of doing ministry for just a little over 2 years. But here we are, and I believe, again, this is the providence of God. I believe our meeting is clearly part of that providence of God. I think that I've had others write to me, too. I'm talking about others from the dark side. They know that we pray over the show. Did you know that? They know this, and, there's comments we're going to put into the newsletter. It should be released tonight or tomorrow for January 2010, the first issue for January. We're trying to have four per month, but we've been doing about two to three. So if you want the newsletter, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little bit. It'll show you how to get the newsletter emailed to you. It's either weekly or biweekly, all year long, free. And it has updates, the newest broadcast, podcast, teachings, and things like that. One more thing before we go into the body of the message is this. There's a course that we teach locally. The course is called Confronting the Powers. Confronting the Powers. Now, that course we have used and taught over a 16 or 20 week in small group or in local churches. We've taught that for a number of years. It's been up, I think, since the first, probably about almost 2 years. So it's a little bit older as far as when we put it up, but it's up there for you absolutely free. And there's probably over 20 hours. There's notes to download also, outline notes if you want to take it, just like if you were sitting in a seminar. And you'll see 12 sessions, but many of those have 2 and 3 1-hour MP3 sessions in each of those. You'll notice that there's a couple of books we've used, The Incomparable Christ, Revival Fire, and Prayer on Fire. Now, those are three books we used with the course. Please understand, if you look on that page, there's a book listed there called God's Genes and Consciousness by Paul Von Ward. We're not using that book in any spiritual way other than exposure. It's one of the most spiritually dangerous books that I know about out there right now. And so we've done some reviews, and we've brought some exposure, because it literally, maybe even without the author knowing it, has laid out Luciferic doctrine and agenda as deeply and broadly as Alice Bailey did back in the 1930s. And so Paul Von Ward has put this out, and I know that people who are interested in concepts, mind-brain studies, and that sense of conscious universe and quantum theory and genetics, well, they'll get interested in the book, but it's not all about that. It is about literally what the fallen cherub offered in Genesis 3, spiritual evolution to deification. If a person chucks God and the Word of God and all of what God says and is, and embraces an alternative. And Paul Von Ward, in talking, I kept saying when I read the book a couple of years ago, I was on a summer camping trip at a conference where my daughter was at, and I stayed by the trailer just to read and read and read and read. I interact with books, buddy. I write in them. I throw them down on the ground once in a while, and I go off and pray about things and get scripture and research. It's like chewing food to me. And so I'm chewing through this book, and I'm saying, man, I cannot believe it. I said, I know this guy is being guided by spirits. And sure enough, in the end of the book, he talks about how he had help from the collective voices of advanced beings. The collective voices. Now, that's what he wants everybody to listen to. The voices of the old, you know, gods and goddesses and aliens and spirits and all across the board. He'd rather us listen to those voices in a kind of satanic synchronicity. Please understand, just as God in providence leads and guides us to deeper waters with him, so the other side has a satanic synchronicity where the spirits guide individuals that are open to deeper and broader dark things. Well, he acknowledges in the end of the book that he had help from those, what he calls, advanced beings. Advanced beings. Any of them eternal? Any of them create the universe? Any of them incarnate in human flesh other than those messed up Nephilim? Any of them dying a cross for anybody? Any of them coming to give the gift of eternal life? No, not at all. But here's the author, Paul Von Ward, engaging and listening. And you know what the sad thing is? In the back of his book, he has listed that he's an ordained Baptist. And I'm sure that real Baptists out there would know to say, he ain't one of us, because when I read the book, that's what I said. He ain't one of us. He's not being guided by the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God. He's being guided by the spirits of the New Age, Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where the Spirit of God says in the end of days, planos is the Greek word, meaning seducing. It also has the meaning of imposter. And imposter, someone stepping in, maybe claiming to be divine, advanced. Well, that's what he's talking about. And so what we do in that book is bring exposure, and we use it as an example of the core of the New Age concept of Luciferic doctrine, Luciferic agenda, because it's real, growing, not going away, and is going to burst out upon us. Let me mention a couple other things as far as books. I listed up here Intoxicated with Babylon by Steve Gallagher. Hitler in the New Age by Bob Rosio, and A Blaze for God. Now, those are three books I think every believer could get deep, deep benefit from. The other ones you don't have to. And by the way, I've got thousands and thousands of books all around me. I even bought one today and bought one online the other day. It's just a part of what I have to do in what I do as a whole. But so I'm saying that books are fine. You look and read whatever else. But again, the Word of God is the infallible source, the living words of God. And that's the bottom line from which all, you know, we discern and so forth. There's also a video out there. You might be able to get it on DVD still, called Seven Signs of Christ's Return. Now, I want you to know it's the best visual picture of issues that deal with signs concerning the coming of Christ. So I wanted to tell you about it. Now, listen, we don't sell books. We don't make anything. That's just telling you, as far as one believer to another, some things that are beneficial. I'm not saying even get Paul Von Ward's book, God's Genes and Consciousness, because, well, I think, again, it literally is what is called didache of daimonia. There's inspiration of a spiritual source behind him. He acknowledges this, but it's not from God. And that's why he has become a vessel, a tool for Luciferic doctrine, Luciferic agenda. We hope by God's providence and prayers that he literally is engaged by the Spirit of God and comes out of that. Those listening, monitoring the show, doing the recon, Luciferians, those that write to me sometimes, listen, dear friends, I call you dear friends because I love you as a human being, but you're lost. You're separated. You need to get out of it. I don't care if it's military. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what the cost. Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul?" So I hope you come to grips. For the rest listening tonight, frozen in time, whatever it may be, sometimes woundedness, and we get locked into just bitterness and excuses and saying that we don't have to do anything, and then we get judgmental about all the other church and the body of Christ and this, and until we're backed into a corner and we realize we have no one around us to pray with us, to encourage us, to pray together. We've been literally guided out, singled out, left on our own. God did not design that. By the Spirit of God, he baptizes us into the body. And I tell you what, I love being with believers. I was with believers today that are dealing with issues. And first time I ever met them, you know. And see, you know what? Love propels me. Whenever I do conferences and meet believers from all over that have been listening to the shows, I have an enormous time. I love doing it. I love being on Friday nights many times with two or three of the other workers that we have, and we go out in our outreach, local outreach stuff, or to other cities. And in the car, we're doing about 45 minutes, sometimes an hour worth of prayer and intercession, praying for one another, talking, you know, and there's so much that we can do to build one another up. And while we go out doing evangelism and seeking and hunting down underground satanic ritual stuff that's harming people. So I love being with brothers and sisters. I count on other brothers and sisters. And that's why I'll say at times, hey, pray for me too. We need your prayers. And there's a lot of things that we're doing, a lot of radio shows all over the place that we've never asked once, but we've got literally hundreds of hours where I don't even know how it happens. I don't know how it happens at all, but we get asked to be on and interviewed, and we just did an interview with Luke and Doc from a show called A Line in the Sand, and it was on Freedom Link. And again, you can access that and many others. You can go to the web and just put our name in and find out many, many other interviews. So we're glad to be doing those, and we've heard again and again of the benefit for others, and that's what it's all about. All that to tell you, hey, every once in a while, or if you're from New Zealand, or if you're from Alaska, if you're from Australia, if you're from England, write us a note. Let us know you're listening. Just a quick note, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, and we want to take a look at some of the folks that are out there. We have probably 10 individuals to get back to right now, and we'll do that as soon as we can, too. But let's go into the body of what we're talking about tonight. Tonight's designated title in this topic for the week is Salvation and the Possibilities of a Lifetime. For all those who have understood concepts that have been formed in philosophies and psychology specifically about human potential, If you research it hard enough, you're going to find that it all comes from a spiritual inspiration, a spiritual idea, a doctrine that becomes psychological ideology and even philosophical ideology. It is true that we can develop. I can learn things. I can work out and get stronger and healthier than I am right now. So there are things that we can do to improve ourselves, without question. But let me tell you right now, spiritually, there are things that we can do as believers in Christ that will bring tremendous, I mean, fortifying our lives, building in strength, developing boldness. And well, we're going to talk about four or five of those areas and then look at one individual where incredible supernatural things occurred as he did the will of God, as he did the mission of God. I'm going to tell you right now that doing the mission of God is the most supernatural. I mean, it opens the door for the most supernatural backing and events ever possible in history. I'm going to tell you that's true right now, that the potential for heaven's backing, the hand of God, and the actual hands-on direct work of Jesus, the risen Savior, as he helps us and as he works among us in the mission. It is incredible. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that is what the battle is all about. If Satan can't get you to give up Jesus, I've seen a lot of hurting and wounded believers that they're wounded, they won't fellowship, they won't hardly pray or open a Bible, but they say, I love Jesus. They don't want to give up Jesus. But they've been, whatever they've gone through, like in Job's case, Satan is using it against them, trying to get them to be angry at God. It's amazing to me that behind the scenes, Satan can come with his forces and bring harm and battle and leave believers spiritually bleeding, spiritually wounded, and then try to suggest to them, blame God. Now, that's part of the methodology. That's why we need to know in-depth biblical revelation. Because you can read about this in 2 Corinthians. Just read the first two chapters. Paul's going to talk about how they are not ignorant or unaware of Satan's schemes. The Greek word methodology. They're not unaware. They know. They know how he operates. And when you know how he operates and you know how he sends those arrows and you know how he brings oppression, attack, and whatever else to try to, down a believer in Christ. If he can just simply have you in the spiritual mud, frozen in time, unable to grow, unable to develop, unable to know, unable to, or unwilling. The last thing the dark side wants is for you to bear any fruit. For you to learn about prayer and begin to get answers. For you to learn about the power of the Spirit of God and experience the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. The enemy doesn't want you to know about spiritual gifts or about leading others to Christ. The issue is whether or not we're going to yield to what the enemy doesn't want us to know, or we're going to open up to what God does want us to know, to be, and to do. Because I'm going to tell you right now that if you're saved, if you're born of the Spirit of God, if you know Christ, the possibilities are amazing. The possibilities of a lifetime, they are literally amazing. I'm going to mention four of them right now. Let's mention four. Number one, the possibilities of a lifetime. Number one, knowing God. Now, from the Greek word gnosko, experientially, I mean really, really, really knowing God. If you go to 1 John 2, when the writer is led by the Spirit of God to write, he writes to the pater, the fathers. He writes to the Paideia, the children, to the young ones, and then Technia, the little babies, the little babes. He's talking about young baby believers. He's talking about middle-aged growing believers, and he's talking about seasoned pillars. And it's interesting to note that when he writes to the fathers, the experienced believers, he says, "You have known him who is from the beginning." That is, they have experientially known and they have walked with, they're experienced. I mean, they really know the Lord. They know his presence, his power. They know his voice. They have a history of their experience with God. Now, that's something that if you're 10, 20, 30, 40 years old as a believer, and you have walked with God, you have walked with Jesus, you realize that nothing can talk you out of it. Nothing can tell you this is not real. Nothing can tell you. You know Jesus probably better than you know most people. You know the living presence of Christ. Now, New Agers don't. Ufologists and psychics and those in that vein, though they talk about an alternative Christ, they don't know it, and they don't know the real. And so they can't talk about the real. See, off my lips, if you stop me in the hallway and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" My answer would be, "Oh, without question, yes." If someone said, "Well, do you what's Jesus like?" I could begin to tell them. Well, they could say, "Well, what was it like when he first entered your life?" I can go back there. I can talk about the night that I prayed and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior into my life. I can talk about revivals that I've been in. I can talk about difficulties where I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me. It's like Psalm 34. You know, 3,000 years ago, a believer, an individual that knew God, led by the Spirit of God, he writes in Psalm 34 these words, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears." Because we're not talking about a force, an energy, sheer human potential in the sense of a psychological development, not alternative spirituality coming from finite spirits. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about God now indwelling the believer in Christ. About literally knowing God. You can read John's Gospel 17. When Jesus is speaking to the Father, and the entire reason he came was that we might experientially know God. Now, I've never seen God face to face yet. I've had many, many experiences with that sense of the abiding, indwelling, personal presence. Christ has never left me. I confess that. Christ has never walked away from me. I confess that. God has been faithful. Even through difficult times where I got even bugged, confused, grieved about things we were going through, I still see that God never left, that he's there guiding, leading, directing. He's always there when I want to come and talk to him and seek him. So knowing God, ultimately for believers who have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's presence is a guarantee of what's to come. You know what's to come? Indestructible immortality, the glorification. The glorification by the exerted power of God. This is the physics of God on an atomic level. Well, it even uses the Greek word there, atomos, atomic. It's where we get the word atomic. In an unsplittable moment in time, on a level beyond anything else, God will glorify the believer in Christ. That means not by spiritual evolution, not some kind of fake deification. That, by the way, New Ager, Luciferians, has never occurred in all of history. Not once. Not among old Buddhist and Hindu spirituality, not in the old Gnostics, not among Rosicrucians or Masons, definitely not in the last 40, 50 years of the New Age movement, though the promise, as never before, is being promoted. Exact same promise that the fallen cherub gave in the garden thousands of years ago to steal mankind's heart away from God. Fallen finite entity, even like this fallen cherub himself, cannot produce what the infinite can, without effort, do. So the ultimate issue of knowing God is the glorification where we are with God. I mean, that's what the second coming is all about. Yes, he deals with evil. Yes, he deals with a new heaven, a new earth, and all the other things that are fantastic and incredible. But the bottom line is God wanting us to be with him face to face. God's attributes are massive, but most forget that in all the attributes of God, the attribute of personal and relational is what God is infinitely. And so we read, and I will see personally God in joy, in fellowship, as my friend, my God, my King, face to face. Now that's going to be, again, something that's going to blow the wigs off many of those of you who have wigs. And if you're not jazzed about the day of Christ and his coming to see, well, something's wrong with your jazzer. That's what we're dealing with. You know, getting out of that frozen, either backslidden, angry, beat down, or wounded life. And once again, embracing Jesus. Why stay angry at what people have done if all that anger does is keep you away from the one that loves you, never harmed you, saved you, wants you to stand up and follow him? The potential in a lifetime is knowing God. Listen, I am 37 years into knowing God in Christ. And I look forward to today, tomorrow. I will know God more and more and more. I've already designed, after this show, I have some design of studies that we're doing that involve in-depth study, and it's about knowing more. As a matter of fact, it's that second point. Actually, the second point I'm going to give you is inseparable from the first. Number one, knowing God. Number two, the knowledge of God. Knowing the knowledge of God. Now, I want you to know something, that when we talk about the knowledge of God, literally, it is literally the knowledge of God. God's presence is in this knowledge, in the Word of God, the Logos of God. Jesus said these words are spirit and life. Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God, the Logos of God, is living and active. Literally has a dynamic power able to go into the depths of us. Folks, the Word of God is alive. That's why some people can't read it, because it begins to show them who they are, where they are. But if they read long enough, they will see the answer. For those who are seekers, honest seekers out there, get into the Gospel of John and just say, God, if you're out there, speak to me, show me, and begin to read the Gospel of John. A lot of the angry atheists that are out there now, Richard Dawkins, angry at God, his whole life is motivated being angry at God, which he denies even exists. So why bother, Richard? It's not that God doesn't exist, nor that he can bring himself to ultimate, infallible conclusion that God doesn't exist. It's that he's angry. It's that he's angry with God. And, we would still pray for Richard to find the truth. Did you hear about the Buddhist nun? Heard about this story one time. There was a student from China that came here to the United States. While in college, people shared Christ, he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Began to grow in his relationship. But when he went back to China, he went to his grandmother and shared the message of Jesus. The grandmother, once a Buddhist nun in her 80s, after accepting Christ as Lord and Savior and coming to know God, declared, and I'll never forget these words, this Chinese former Buddhist nun cried out, "This is he of whom I have been searching for all of my life." Spiritual singularity, Christ. Christ loves you, came for you, died for you, wants you. What's wrong with that? And then knowing God, number one, is that incredible possibility. Number two, the knowledge of God. I mean, the knowledge of God's attributes, the knowledge of God's being, the knowledge of God's nature and character, his acts, his words, how he does stuff. I mean, the knowledge of origins, the origin of the universe, the origin of humankind, the real origin of radical personal evil. The knowledge of what the sin code is, the death code is, the end of, the end of that. Real knowledge about heaven and hell. Real knowledge about the sequence of history, its development. This knowledge includes the signs at the end of the age, not only of the second coming of Christ, but of the unprecedented ramping up of the dark side, and what's going to be happening. Well, what is happening? But we haven't seen anything yet as far as supernatural manifestations. But you know what? Here I am, and I have a massive goal this year to try to master and memorize the majority of New Testament Greek vocabulary, knowing the New Testament and knowing the content of, because these are the words of God. These are the words the Holy Spirit chose. And so that in-depth study, I want to know. I study and study and study. But it relates to knowing God. It relates to knowing more about God. As a matter of fact, the more of the knowledge I know, the more there is a sense of personal knowing. I don't study, no matter what it is, outside the presence of God. It is in his presence. It is with prayer, talking, interaction, thinking, sometimes moved deeply, powerfully. The Spirit of God is there, interactive in the study of the Word of God. Boy, does he know his own Word. Did you know that the Spirit of God knows every single scripture verse and all of the scriptures backward? I mean, he knows when to give it, how to give it, what context to give it to us in. Never out of context, never out of its meaning. And believer, you have the Spirit of God in you. So the possibilities of a lifetime, I can say I've read. I can tell you all these kind of things I've done. And all I can say is there's so much before me to consume, to know. God has invited us. God has invited us. We read in Colossians that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, that's why I'm glad I'm not a New Ager any longer. That's why I'm glad I'm not caught up in the deceptions. Finite, secondary, lesser. Stuff that is meant to keep me from knowing God. All the ladies out there, you know the difference between a cubic zirconium and a diamond. If you have a man that loves you and is going to offer you a ring, do you want the cubic zirconium or do you want the diamond? I want you to know one thing. I've never met a woman that said she wanted the cubic zirconium, the fake $9 fake diamond. Ladies wanted the real. Don't you want the real God of heaven? Don't you want the infinite God? Now, if you're a seeker, that's what's going to happen as you delve in to biblical revelation. Let me give you a third one quickly here. And I'm using the title of a book. I think it was written by a man from Australia, Oswald Sanders. It was called Prayer Power Unlimited, and probably 20 years ago, I probably bought 40 or 50 of these, and we used them throughout a training session in a local church. But the title of the book was Prayer Power Unlimited. And here was a seasoned believer that not only learned the promises of prayer, instructions on prayer, possibilities on prayer. I mean, anybody reading E.M. Bounds, when you see the massive volumes of teaching on prayer, the necessity of prayer, the potential of prayer, the possibilities of prayer, all these different things. How much do you know about prayer? Yet Jesus says in the very basic elements of prayer, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Now that's not something that you can take to old SRI, you know, old Sanford and the Psy Research Center and just simply put it all under finite man's, you know, scope and say, well, we're going to research this, we're going to study this. God does not have to jump onto your little piece of glass under the microscope. See, that's one thing on a human scale, saying we're going to use finite, limited human technology. We're going to force God to come up under our screen, and we're going to study God the way we want God to. It's like, hold still, God. Turn to your left, God. Roll over, God. Put your arms in the air, God. Come on, really? That's like this multi-million dollar CERN, super collider, and the God particle we talked about here a few weeks back. And their desire that through the Atlas, the particle detector, that when they smash the energy, that they will find what's beyond the particles they've already found. And I'm going to say right now, at the very most, they're going to find material particle. They're not going to be able to breach into the immaterial God. Not going to happen. The other side of the story is there a spiritually alternative reason for that super collider? Take a look into our series on the abyss, and we discuss that issue. Something's going to open that thing sooner or later. And that's one door mankind will wish was never opened. But what about Prayer Power Unlimited? You ever read the book of Acts? You ever see as Paul and Silas have nothing, they're put in jail unjustly, and all they do is prayer and pray, you know, they're praising God, singing hymns, and they're praying. And an earthquake strikes as an answer that busts open the doors. How about Acts chapter 4, when the believers were threatened and told not to speak in the name of Jesus? They gathered together, they lifted and raised their voices to God in prayer. And the answer was so powerful by the Spirit of God that the building itself shook physically. How about when Peter was in prison? Chained, guarded by guards, and behind a great vast iron gate. A small prayer group is going on. An angel of God shows up. The chains literally fall off of Peter's arms. The guards never know what hit them. Peter gets up, gets his clothes, they're going out the iron barred, you know, gateway. The scripture says, opened all by itself. The finger of God, my friends. The potential of prayer is absolutely incredible. In the book of Acts, we find at one point Peter even when people got in and under his shadow, because the power of God was so extremely on him, they were healed. We read about Paul doing extraordinary miracles. We read about a man in the book of Acts, chapter 8, a second-generation believer that wanted to fulfill the mission of Christ, and so he's out there doing it. Though he has all these threats to stop the work of God, stop the work of Christ, Stephen is martyred, Saul of Tarsus is breathing out murderous threats, Philip's not going to stop. If you've stopped doing the powerful work of evangelism, who stopped you? How long are you going to stay frozen in time? When the threats came against Philip, when everything was scattered, he adapted. He stayed obedient to the Word of God. He stayed in the conscious, full presence of God. And he took Christ into a city where a high priest that seized the high and the low with his magic. Like Aleister Crowley's magic with a K. The whole city was inundated. And it was real magic. You know why we know it's real? It wasn't some kind of fake illusion. Because the end of the story is the city was filled with great joy because people were saved, healed, and demons went out of people screaming. I mean, they were screaming, "Get me out of here!" You know what I mean? Because the demons that are acting in the world today are powerful, they are real, they are beyond human mental powers, they are beyond human levels of development, they are simply beyond unaided humanity. But when it comes to a believer, a human being that has the living Christ dwelling in them, with them, knowing the authority, knowing the power of God, knowing the power of the kingdom, the basileia of God. This is the rule of God. Believers, we're living in the rule and the reign of God. How is it that we live in spiritual inexperience and silence? Like the church of Sardis, once alive, it became dead. Dead. Frozen. Because it quit. Whatever the reasons, it quit remembering what God had said, what God had given them, and it quit doing. Believer, write this down. You got to know this. You receive it all by faith, but you manifest it all in obedience. I mean, obedience is faith in action. And when you step up to worship, step up to pray in the power of the Spirit of God, step up to be a witness, step up to use your gifts, and when you do step out to do the will of God, you're going to find out all the power, all the grace, all the might, all the wonders can be manifested. You're going to find that you'll have story after story after story of the Spirit of God guiding, leading, and directing you in the winning of souls. You're not going to have it if you don't go out and attempt. You'll break through the fear barrier. That's what the Spirit of God's all about. Dynamic, the dunamis, the power of God. Now, I'm going to encourage you again, read the book of Acts, see the potentials. Philip was a man, a young man. He'd never known God personally. He was never indwelt by the Spirit of God at one point in his life. He had never prayed and seen an answer directly in his face. He'd never engaged the demonic side and kicked it out of people. He never prayed for people and seen them get healed before this. And surely he never had an angel show up to give him directions. The Spirit of God to speak to him and say, go over there and stand next to that chariot. Or be bilocated. Transported body, soul, and spirit from one city to another, only so he can continue to evangelize. This believer was hot and experiencing possibilities that he would have never, ever, ever, ever had outside of Christ.
Once born again, once filled with the Spirit of God, once stepping out, doing it, letting, listen. Decide now, let nothing stop you. You'll be rewarded, you'll be blessed. God says, listen, God says that those who are going to believe must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. God will reward. The believer who's persevering in faith, persevering in ministry, persevering in prayer, please understand, that will be rewarded. And the possibilities are incredible. We can read about the past and, you know, revivals and awakening and events. But it's the living Christ dwelling in you, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Know ye not that you are a temple of God? Not to hide away, not to be bent out of shape. Get rid of the negativity and judgmentalism on everybody else. Get rid of the woundedness and everything else that has gone on and all the conditions of what you can't do and say, God, this is what I can do. You know, Paul and Silas, they were locked away in a prison. What could they do? It ended up with a God-sent earthquake that opened the gates, led to the salvation of the jailer and his family, and them getting out of prison. You know, Peter in prison, what did the prayer meeting at Rhoda's house end up as? Angels showed up. Philip's out there doing all this evangelizing. And if you'll look in Acts chapter 8, you're going to find that evangelism is the most incredible, supernatural, because that's what God wants the most. That's God's front line. And so it's not surprising that we see an angel actually show up and give him directions. Or the Spirit of God strongly say to where he can quote that he's to go over there and stand next to a chariot. Or that he's actually transported supernaturally from one city to another so that evangelism can continue. The greatest mission God has going on is reaching individuals and bringing them to faith in Christ, to a personal relationship with God. That's what God wants. May God's love and presence grip you tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit minister and bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Good night. Buddy, I barely made this one tonight.